I've been talking about heaven, some of the things that's going on in heaven, and I would venture to say some of the things, I know there's nothing new. There's never anything new that we could ever tell you. But I'd venture to say that probably if you're like me, after I've gone through this study on the Ark of the Covenant in heaven, I see heaven differently tonight than I did a few weeks and a few months ago. And it's not because God has given me a greater vision. It's just what God has shown us in His Word through His Spirit. It's there all along. We begin to see it. And I don't know why, but I didn't think, I'd think about the throne, but I didn't think about the throne being of sapphire. And I'd talk about the sea of glass, but I didn't think about what that really looked like and all the other things that we've shared with you about heaven, some of the things that God has done and how it relates to us and how God wants heaven to be in us and a desire to go to heaven. I think that you would agree with me. If you go back in our church history, not this church, but the church in America, the church history of America, you'll find that probably one of the greatest eras of time for people that preached sermons and wrote songs was through the Great Depression years. And the reason why is that when they lost everything, they lost their job, they had no income, they didn't know how they were going to make it, but they had heaven. They could live in a shack, but they had the hope of heaven. And because of that, they sang a lot about it. In fact, it's not uncommon. If you'll go through, a lot of times you'll find 7 or 8 out of every 10 songs written about heaven. A lot of songs I listen to today, it's not that I'm opposed to them, but they don't talk a lot about heaven. But I'm going there one day, and I'd like to know a little bit about it before I get there. And that's what we've been dealing with. I have dealt with what the glory of God looks like. We've heard about the glory of God, but through this study we found out what the glory looks like. The Lord on the throne and what His glory looks like and resembles. We've found out as well what the throne looks like, what's under the throne, what is around the throne. We talked about the rainbow that is there, which a lot of you had heard it. But now tonight, let's go, if you will, in verse 4. Let's just look at verse 4, 5, and part of verse 6. Not trying to cut anything short, but let's just look at verse 4. And round about the throne. Please underline the words round about. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne, please underline the words out of. So we've got round about, and now we've got out of. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne. Now let's just stop here. We dealt a little bit with the fact that before the throne, what was under the throne, what was before the throne in previous messages. But tonight I want to look at just 2 things. What's round about the throne? We know the rainbow is round about the throne. You know what a roundabout is. More and more cities now, when I used to travel overseas, very few cities, big cities overseas, have red lights, and stop signs. They have roundabouts. Now they're getting popular. They put a number of them in Columbus. A lot of the metropolitan areas now are putting roundabouts in. And that's when the roads come in, you hit a roundabout. And that's to help control the traffic. But it gives you all points from that circle. So he's saying, what's round about the throne? He said in this particular case, he said there are 24 seats. 24 seats. The Greek word for seats is thronos, which is the word we get for thrones. So they are small thrones that surround the throne. There's 24 of them. And the question is, and I have never understood this, I mean, I have preached and studied on prophecy and preached on prophecy so much over the years out of this pulpit. And every time you start talking about the 24 elders that sits on the throne, now roundabout, it seems like when I hear others, it's like it's a mystery who these people are. I don't get that. I'm not being a smart aleck. I just don't get that. I mean, sometimes I wonder, do people read their Bible at all? I mean, the Lord answers something. Some things are a mystery to us. I believe there's mysteries. There's some things that God reveals them to us by His Spirit. But I think also that this generation in America has really become biblically ignorant. Not that they're ignorant people, but they are so distracted, they spend no time in the Word of God. And if you ask the average person, who are those 24? They couldn't tell you. They couldn't tell you. Oh, they could tell you what's going on in a lot of other avenues of life, but they couldn't tell you who these elders are, who these 24 are that's set upon the throne. In fact, I don't want to embarrass anyone tonight because that's not my point. God bless your heart. If you don't know, you're going to know before you leave here tonight who they are. And then when somebody else comes along to you and says, I wonder who that is, you can just say, I know who that is. It's not my opinion. It's what the Word of God tells us. 12 of them, Jesus told us exactly who they would be. Now, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. See, He was preparing them as He placed in their heart the desire for Him. And He's also telling them about these things that would come. Turn with me, if you will, back to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28. The words in red. I've got a red letter edition. You may not, but I like that myself. The words in red. Matthew 19, 28. When you have it, say amen. He said, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory. So He makes it pretty plain. He's saying, one day when I sit on my throne. He's giving you the time frame. He's not on His throne when He's saying this. He's looking prophetically now, saying, one day I'm going to sit on my throne, and I'm going to sit on my throne in glory. He's talking about His throne in heaven. So we're in the same time frame that I read to you from Revelation chapter 4. And He said, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, who's He speaking to? He's speaking to those that are following Him, the disciples that are following Him. And He says, not only are they disciples that have followed Him, but He said, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man, He said, the 12 apostles will occupy 12 of those 24 seats. Christ stated that. He said, so 12 of them will be the apostles. Well, preacher, surely you got more than one verse. I absolutely do. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21, next to the last chapter of your Bible. Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 12. Now John is picturing the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth. He no longer sees a temple there, but there's still a throne that's there. And Jesus sits on the throne. So this is the time that Christ was referring to when He spoke about the 12 that would occupy. He said those 12 apostles would occupy it. Verse 12, chapter 21 and verse 12. He's referring to the city now. And He said, in the city had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. In verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. In them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So now you have these gates with the walls, and on the gates are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob. Then you've got the walls on a foundation. And in the foundation, you have the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Anybody care to tell me what 12 and 12 equals? 24. How many seats are there? 24. 12 and 12. They encircle the throne, round about the throne. Why 12 apostles and why 12 sons of Jacob? Why are the 12 tribes of Jacob's name there? Why are the 12 apostles mentioned? Because you have two covenants. You hold in your hand the Bible. The Bible is not just the Psalms. The Bible is not just the New Testament. The Bible is not just the Old Testament. The word testament means covenant. Your Bible is the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So now you've got the Lamb sitting between those that God made a covenant with Abraham. And out of Abraham's seed came the 12 tribes of Jacob. Now you've got the Old Covenant represented. Now you've got the 12 apostles represented. But you've got the Lamb bridging them both. Can I tell you something? All of this book is about Jesus, the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's why we don't have to be embarrassed to believe all of it, read all of it, preach all of it, live by all of it, because it's all his covenant. And he said, I have surrounded myself with the fulfilled promise. He promised it, and he said, the promises of God are yea and yea. And God will do exactly what he said he would do. So the names that is there represents the old and the new covenant. They have white robes on. They have crowns on their heads. What's that a picture of? Well, the Jewish Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin tried the cases for the Jews. There were multiple Sanhedrins, but there was a great Sanhedrin. The great Sanhedrin had a president, and around the president in a semicircle were 70 seats. And the people that sat on those 70 seats were called elders. And the elders wore white robes. So when they were coming before them with temple matters that they had to rule on, or when they had to rule about criminal cases, serious cases, it would go to the great Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was part of the group that tried Christ when he was here. And they had on white robes, but they only go halfway around. The Lamb says on the throne, oh no, no, there's more than half the story. There's all the story. He can surround himself by these people of spiritual maturity that says these people have been raised up by me, both Old Testament and New Testament. I am surrounded by the promise of my word and the fulfillment of it. So you have them around the throne. But then what do you have coming from the throne? Proceeding from the throne. He not only says that there is the elders that is there, but he also says there's some things around the throne. The elders, the rainbow, the lightning. And proceeding out of the throne, thunder. And voices. Now, on the elders, he tells us who they are. On the voices, we don't know who they are. But we know they represent a lot. In fact, I just did a little study. You know that there's four passages that John says that he heard thunder and voices. Revelation 4, 5 that I read to you tonight. Revelation 11, 19 that we've been reading from regularly in this study. Revelation 8, 5 and Revelation 16, 8. And he says about all of them that proceeding out of the throne were thunder and voices. What are these voices that he's referring to? Well, we know one thing, that God's voice sounds like thunder. Some people say, well, now, you know, the voice of God, that's a big area that people like to talk about too. They say the voice of God, you really can't hear the voice of God, that the voice of God, you know, it's something that you hear on the inside. And that is true. But God speaks too with an audible voice. God speaks. We know that he speaks because in Exodus, when Moses went up on the mountain and the cloud was there, there were thunderings and lightning. Same thing as in heaven. You know why? God had come down to give him the law. That's exactly why. And he said when God spoke in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16 through 19, he tells us God's voice sounds like thunder. Again in Exodus 20 and verse 18, it was like thunder. Not only is it like thunder because of God's voice, but these other voices that are there. What are these other voices? Who are they? Well, I think that you'd agree with me on this from past studies. The voices, they had to be overwhelming. John said it was the sound of many waters. That's what he described. The past two nights I sat in a prayer room, and I'm telling you, the room shook like thunder. Because the more they prayed, the happier they got. And the happier they got, the more the power of God came down. And old Leonard Mayfield, I've talked a lot about Leonard. He's the one that had the prayer rock, and Leonard was there on last night, and they brought me in, brought the Lords in, set us down. They laid hands on us, prayed for us before the service. But in the middle of that prayer, I looked over and there was Sandy Lohr, old Leonard. He's in his 90s now, way up in his 90s. He can't see. He's blind. They just about have to lead him everywhere. And old Leonard, you know, he couldn't tell what he had on, couldn't tell where he stepped. And coming out through all that rain, had all that old mud and all that all over his shoes. And they're praying, and all of a sudden, I see Sandy down cleaning his shoes for him. Boy, some of them preachers saw that. And I'm telling you what, you talk about thundering. You talk about thundering. I'm telling you, the Word of God, he says that that is so strong. Have you ever been, some of you ever been to Niagara Falls? You get up close to the falls and that water is coming down, and it's almost like thunder. Almost like thunder that's there. And you can almost feel that water as that water gushes over those falls. I've been to different falls, different places, and sensed that and experienced that. That's what he says it's like. Well, why would there be such thundering of these voices? It's because of where they come from and what they are. Well, what are they? Well, we know what some of them are. We know from Revelation 5:8, the Bible says that our prayers and the prayers of the saints are stored up by God in golden vials. He likens our prayers unto incense. Do you know that incense in the tabernacle and the temple both, that they had the chalice that the incense was in, and underneath that there was a little tray, because God specifically gave his law to the Jewish people. And the Jews believe to this day, they believe that that holy incense, not one drop of it could fall to the earth. That incense was under a little tray. So perchance it would fall out of the chalice. It would not fall to the ground. It would be preserved. And that's a picture of God taking our prayers. Now you think about this. Not one prayer that you've ever prayed for a lost loved one has ever gone unheard. And it never ends. God has stored that prayer up. Now you can say what you want to, but I believe we pray with words. You think about all the prayers of all the saints, of all the ages that have cried to God and poured their heart out to God and wept before God. Imagine the millions upon millions upon billions and billions of prayers, all of those words surrounding God, the prayers of the saints. I'm here to tell you, not one word falls to this earth. God hears it and God has it. It's like those of you that go back in our little prayer room back here at Revival. Sometimes you almost feel like that's vibrating on the inside. When you hear folks pouring their heart out to God, we walk out of the room and we forget about it. And God says, I've never forgotten about it. He said, I've stored up every one of them. Why did he keep all of those? Because one day, all those prayers that you thought didn't get answered, when you prayed for somebody and you thought they didn't get healed, and you prayed for something and it didn't work out the way that you thought, when you get to heaven and God makes all the wrongs right, God said, I didn't forget what you prayed. I heard you, and I heard every word constantly, constantly. Not one of them went back to earth, but they were surrounding me on my throne room, and those voices are proceeding out of the throne. You say, preacher, that's ridiculous, really? You care to tell me when we pray what the New Testament writer said that we do? Now, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy and grace in the time of need. If my prayers only went to that wood, it would be useless. If my prayers only went to your ears, it would be useless. If my prayers only went to these walls, it would be useless. If my prayers only went to this ceiling, it would be useless. But when I pray and you pray, our prayers are in the very throne room of God. And God says, I hear them and I will not forget them. It's not over. God hears and knows all about it. Well, if he has our prayers, I think that's part of it. But I think these voices are comprised not only of prayer, but praise. In fact, you're not going to pray very long. You pray very long, it about always turn into praise. I mean, when we really start praying, it don't take long in the prayer meeting for praise to break out. Now, one of the psalmists said that God inhabited the praises of his people. Do you know why? Because we praise with our words. That means every hallelujah I've ever said is around the throne. Every glory to God I've ever said is around the throne. Ernestine, every shout you've ever given, I'm telling you, sometimes I'll sit on this seat over here and I'll sit down. I won't even see her. I don't have to look at you all. The hair on the back of my neck will start to stand up. And before I know it, I hear Ernestine cut loose. And I think every one of those shouts, it's around the throne. The saints that have gone on, their old time shouting is still around the throne. You know, isn't it something how we all seem to praise God a little differently? But I want to store up in heaven something. I want to put something there besides my prayers. I want God to know that I love him. I want God to know that I thank him for what he's done. It's there around the mighty throne room of God. It's not just for church and forgotten about. When you tell God how beautiful he is, how powerful that he is, how good that he is, how great that he is, God said, I'm not going to get over that. I'm going to remember that, and I'm going to listen to that over and over and over and over. God rides on our praise. You hear that? God rides on our praise. If you could tell God anything tonight, face to face, what would you tell him? What would you tell him? Why don't you just look up to heaven and tell him? Hey, by the way, while you're telling him, there's people in Nigeria. They're saying hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's gone up with yours. And there's people in the Caribbean that are praising God. There's people in Jerusalem that are praising God. There's people in Russia that are praising God. All around the world, people are praising God. You take that 1 billion voices just tonight that's heard by God all around this world of those that confess that He is their Lord, and we start praising Him. Those are stored up in heaven. Now listen, I don't want to offend you, but if you're saying, "Preacher, I'm just a quiet kind of person and I just don't like loud noises," you're going to be in a heap of trouble when you get to heaven. You stay away from the throne room, because the throne room is shaken and thundering with praises and prayer, and God joins in every now and then and says, "That's what I like to hear. That's what makes the difference. There's something about the glory of God. Your praise is heard and kept by God." You just missed a good chance to shout. The throne room. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be like me, but if you fight being like me, you'll probably have to be like me. Thunderings and lightning. You say, "Preacher, I've never seen that. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to." I want you to stand to your feet. Very unorthodox, I know. But I want you to take just maybe 30 seconds here. I got a stopwatch. The next 30 seconds of praise is gone in the bank of heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want a bank that don't have in it what I put in it when I go to get it. And when I get to heaven, I don't want my first hallelujah to be when I see the Lamb. I want to store something up. You got 30 seconds to put something in the bank. Go. 30 seconds. Glory to God.